Good morning. It's 8:16. I'm Sarah Gibson, and in the studio with us this morning, we have Elizabeth Meredith. She's an author who's come down from Anchorage and is on the last leg of a year-long tour to promote and talk about her book, Pieces of Me, Rescuing My Kidnapped Daughters. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. It is a pleasure to be here.
So you're going to be reading tonight at Sitka Public Library, but let's first talk about this book and what it's about.
Thank you. Well, my book is about my struggle to rescue my kidnapped daughters who were taken 4 years after I left my abusive ex-husband. And I specifically timed the release to coincide with October being Domestic Violence Awareness Month. But my book is really also about the amazing community of support I had to make the impossible occur and to get my daughters back. They were taken as a retaliatory act for me having the courage to leave my former husband, and it was critical to get them back and bring them home to safety. I made $10 an hour at the time, faced a $100,000 problem, and if it weren't for the Alaskans, there's no way I would have my daughters back.
And so, and it took you how long I know you ended up going to Greece where your daughters were in hiding with your former husband, and how long did it take you to actually get them back?
It took over 2 years. The first trip I failed at, I was very close to getting custody of my daughters, and then we had a glitch, and he was able to take them further into hiding to where they didn't go to school anymore, and they didn't get to play with friends or see relatives. Mm-hmm. And so it took, like I said, over 2 years. It was a lot, and I had a lot of support in Greece as well. I think that's one thing about my book. It was a very inspiring time in the middle of troubling times.
Mm-hmm. And were you able to be in touch with your daughters at all in the time they were? Okay, so you
I never had one call from my former husband. I never got that reassurance that they were at least alive while they were gone.
That sounds really hard. And so you eventually were able to connect with them, bring them back to Anchorage, and you raised them in Anchorage, right?
That's right.
And do they still live there?
They both actually have residences there. One of my daughters is out for the winter studying, but yes, the youngest one lives very close to me. They've always been very close and supportive of this process, supportive of the book, supportive of the idea of sharing our story.
Yeah. And you were saying that one of the reasons you need to wrap up this tour is you need to go back to work. Tell us about the work you do now and the work you've done with domestic violence survivors in the past.
I have been very fortunate in that I always picked work that I felt like made a huge difference. So after I left my former husband, I got my degree in journalism and then worked as a battered women's advocate and definitely felt like things were starting to improve. I loved my job at Awake, abused women's aid in crisis, loved it, and definitely felt like a survivor that had something to offer victims. And then 4 years after I left my former husband, he took the kids while I was working at Awake. Eventually, I went to graduate school and I worked as a social worker, investigating child abuse, and eventually then as a juvenile probation officer and a supervisor. A lot of the work we do talks about trauma, talks about the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, work very hard with families who have had intergenerational traumas, trying to help them heal and make them productive members of the community again. And I love that about Alaska. We have a lot of services and a lot of people who care.
Hmm. And you were saying that it's been, so this is the kind, this is work that you've been doing for so long that intersects with your own personal story. And I'm curious, so you've talked to a lot of Alaskans for many years about their own experiences throughout the state, but what sort of stories emerged or themes emerged as you came forward with your own story and started going on tour, reading parts of your memoir, and talking about the issue of domestic violence and domestic abuse in Alaska?
That is such a good question, Sarah. I think I was so surprised to learn, you know, when I wrote the book, I thought women between the ages of 25 and 65 would be interested. That was my target audience. And I've had men and women alike come to my readings or events or email me on my website and say, I enjoyed the book. It brought out something in me that I thought I'd already taken care of, or, you know, something from my childhood that had not been resolved. It gave me permission, in a sense, to address it. I'm either in therapy or I'm talking about it. telling one's story, you know, domestic violence is all about isolation and shutting people down. Same with childhood kidnapping, parental childhood kidnapping. A memoir is about opening up the kind of opening the dam in a sense. It's opening conversation for everyone. When I share my story, it gives you permission to share yours. And it has been amazing to see people come out and be able to tap into their own story. Everyone has one. Everyone has survived a trauma. And so it's really been exciting to see people using this opportunity to talk and to grow.
Yeah. And you said it's also, time has been sobering to see that the demand for services does exceed what's available right now, at least in Anchorage where you live, that there are a lot of people of all backgrounds seeking help dealing with domestic violence.
That's right. We know that domestic violence affects all of us, even if we're not directly involved. And we know that men can be victims, women are certainly victimized, children experience horrors growing up in homes where there is domestic violence. So things like SAFE that you have in Sitka, that amazing resource, Abused Women's Aid in Crisis in Anchorage, they have so many demands on their time, so many people needing help, yet shrinking dollars to deal with. And it is a very big challenge to use those dollars effectively, which I know they do. But how do you prioritize who to reach out to? Is it prevention? Is it helping people after the fact? Mm-hmm. So it's really important that people support those agencies that they have.
And you said you were recently at a wake, and it felt like there were more people there than when you used to work there.
I was sitting in the lobby at a wake and one afternoon about to volunteer, and it literally felt like a bus accommodation center in a large city. So many people were in crisis, asking for help, needing resources, needing safety. And that's very serious in our community.
And that's Awake, the domestic violence shelter in Anchorage.
That's right.
And but you've been outside of Alaska as well. You've been really touring the whole country, it seems. Where else have you been going with this book?
Well, and I will forget some places, but I've gone to Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, Portland, Oregon, Seattle. Just got back from Yakima. So I've been to a number of different places. I get to talk at universities and I always try to reach out to the shelter like I did SAFE, and they were very responsive here in Sitka. But trying to bring in the communities that deal with the local problems and have a great conversation. There's a lot of healing and hope to be had. Mm. But when we get together as a community, we are so much stronger and more powerful than when people stay alone quiet with what's going on.
And are there any conversations or places that stand out to you over this past year?
This has been such an amazing year. It really has been. And there have been so many. But one of the most powerful things for me was I was in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, I was born in Louisville. And I had a brother that I had been, I was taken as a child and hidden away from some of my siblings. I had not seen him in over 50 years. And he has been homeless on and off. And he came to the front and center of this book event. It was very powerful. And he talked about what it meant to him to open up the dialogue and start letting out some of the pain. It was beautiful.
Wow. And are you in touch with your family? So you,
yes.
this is part of the book, but you actually yourself were kidnapped or taken
exactly.
from some of your family in Kentucky and ended up in Anchorage. Have you reconnected with a lot of those people?
Oh, yes, I definitely have. And I thought I'd reconnected with almost all of them. And then there's nothing like publishing a book to have family come out of the woodwork and say, hey, we're related. And I'm proud that you're speaking out. So that's been really exciting. I'm not saying it's been universally yeah. embraced, but pretty much mm-hmm. in my family.
And so, Elizabeth, you'll be speaking this evening. Remind us where people can get your book and where they can see you read.
Thank you, Sarah. My book is available at Safe at Old Harbor Bookstore, which is such an amazing bookstore.
It
I'm
is.
Very excited for their support. And at the library, they've also taken several copies so people can check them out. So it's accessible to everyone. I'm excited to be speaking tonight at 6:00. And I'll be there a little before, and really appreciative to the library, to last night's book group, to everyone who's been involved. This has been an amazing time.
Well, welcome to Sitka, and we're excited to have you here. That's Elizabeth Meredith, the author of Pieces of Me, Rescuing My Kidnapped Daughters. She'll be reading from her memoir tonight at 6 p.m. We'll be posting this interview on our website as usual by noon today. Thanks so much for being in the studio with us.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.